Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin of the Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're being fortified with your regular dose of Catholic vitamins. But wait, there's more.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
When I say, are you ready? That means, should we play the dropout that we did there to cut up?
No.
Hi, everybody. We're in Arizona. Yay.
Home.
Hi, Dee.
Home feels good.
It does. It really does. And I was tired when we got back here. Still probably a little bit tired, but I'm full of Catholic vitamins and I'm ready to do our show, which is
Catholic vitamin F, faith-filled.
We didn't have one correct guess for that, did we?
No.
We didn't. Faith-filled. And Dee, why are we doing faith-filled for this show?
You have a lot of faith-filled people you talk to at Franciscan University this summer.
Each year, it has been God's gift to me, and once for Dee, to join me at Franciscan University. Excuse me, I go for the annual priest, deacon, seminarian retreat, and this year I think Dee was probably the best retreat, the most spirit-filling, the most grace-providing retreat that I've been on there. Great speakers, and so we're going to share a little bit of the joy of Franciscan in this episode. Any other words to get us started? The show number?
Oh, show, episode 234.
Okay. Well, let's see. what do we start with? Driving. How many miles?
Over 5,600 miles.
5,600 miles, folks. We're still married.
You preached this weekend, and that's what you told everybody.
My goodness. It was a long trip. I think we talked to people from Indiana when we were in Indiana. I think I talked with people when we were in Pennsylvania. And so, in a way, they were part of the journey with us, but...
Well, speaking of that, since we did do the last podcast while we were in Indiana, sitting in the kitchen mm-hmm. of our son's house, we didn't have our notes with us. The notebook we took with us, I was out in the car, I think, and I had notes on my computer, but for some reason, we didn't open up my computer that morning when we were working on the podcast. So... we forgot to announce that we did have a winner for Catholic Vitamin E enthusiasm.
And who would that be?
Well, Imad, all the way from Abu Dhabi.
I'll be darned. Well, I apologize.
And this was after you went and did all this ranting about sending gifts overseas.
Well, we weren't trying to keep him from being acknowledged as the correct guesser, the participant in the Vita Scrabble.
No. I just apologize because we didn't have our notes in front of us and I was forgetting things.
His name is Imad Aboud and he does listen to us all the way from, it's amazing to me what...
Several years ago it was from Saudi Arabia.
Right. Well, thank you for participating and we will keep you in our prayers and your sons. Your son, I remember as well, Imad. Dear?
Oh, what else could we talk about the trip? We did cover some of it from Indiana last time. What did we do after Indiana?
Well, I wrapped up the show that started in Indiana when we were
right.
in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
But it was just the wrap-up.
Yeah, and I wasn't there for the ending of that episode
right.
because
right.
I had gone to a banquet with my mother that night.
Right, right. Our last guest was Allison Gingras, and we've had some nice feedback, and we thank her for being a guest.
Yeah, I re-listened to her interview for the second time while we were on the trip.
Well, dear, we have Mariana with us on this episode. Excuse me. We do not have Mariana on this episode. I apologize. Let me restart that. Mariana is not with us. She's struggling with some health issues with her father. We ask for prayers for her dad, and it might be that he's nearing the end of his journey and ready to enter eternity, so your prayers will be appreciated. We do have Sonia, who is always a gift to Catholic Vitamins, and we do have some segments, as we've said, from Franciscan. So let's get the show started, and we'll bring up our correspondent from Tennessee.
Let her roll.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
I grew up a non-Catholic, and although my parents didn't attend church with much conviction or regularity, we did usually attend the annual revival that was prevalent in our Southern denomination. Catholics call this a mission, but we called it a revival. It was an intense week of sweaty outdoor evening services with a visiting preacher and an emphasis on repentance and spiritual renewal. Our revivals took place outside every summer when it was so hot the bees were afraid to fly because their wings would have caught fire, under what was essentially a huge horse shed with a tin roof, a stage, a lectern, and a couple rows of pews on a sawdust floor. One of the favorite revival hymns of my childhood was about faith. It was about standing on the promises of God. And as a very analytical child, I remember wondering what the term faith actually meant. What is it exactly? What does it mean to stand on God's promises? What does it mean to be faith-filled? The Bible says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But I can hope to win the lottery and be completely convinced that I'm going to, but I never have. Of course, that might be because I've never played the lottery, but hey, if I hope and assure myself, I have faith, right? I think it's especially important that those of us who long to please God have a really firm grasp on what faith is, because Hebrews 11:6 states that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I love both of those ideas, that I can somehow please God, and that he rewards me. I remember the very first time I actually considered that verse, my mind streaked wildly with all the possible ways God could reward me. But the scriptures themselves actually tell us what the reward is. In Genesis chapter 15, God tells Abraham that he himself is Abraham's exceedingly great reward. That means exponentially multiplying, vehemently, urgently, heaped up, increased, abundant blessedness. The church calls this reward beatitude. Ultimately, the thing that we hope for and believe is God himself. But we're also told in the scriptures that even the demons believe and tremble. So faith has to be more than just a mental assent to God's existence. Well, then what is it? What is faith? How can we be faith-filled? I'm a third-order Carmelite in formation, so I read St. John Paul the Great's doctoral thesis, Faith According to St. John of the Cross, in which faith is explained in the most glorious detail. The Hebrews passage seems to imply a conditional reward, and in fact, that's exactly what it's doing, but not in the way that I first thought. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Our church's fiery-tongued theologians teach us that it is indeed impossible to please God or to reach him in any way at all without faith. Why? Because we gather information through our senses, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. But God is pure, uncreated spirit, so there's nothing to see or hear or feel or sense of him at all. If we sense God ever, and we do often, it's because he makes himself known through our senses. The verse does not communicate that God is preventing me from pleasing him or withholding his reward until I have appropriate faith. Instead, what it's saying is it is literally and truly impossible to reach him in any way without faith, because we are sensory beings. We're created. But he is uncreated spirit. So how can we be faith-filled? Well, the New Testament was written in Greek, and Greek verbs convey continual action. So faith is not baptism, confirmation, and daily mass, one or two or maybe a 40-time thing. Faith is a lifelong feeling. It is touching God in prayer without feeling Him at all. And without feeling Him, trusting His goodness in the midst of the raging chaos and evil around me. My promise and reward is Him, both now and later. He is greater than any reward I can imagine. And I can reach Him by trusting and believing all that He has said and done through the Scriptures and the Church. Wow, what incredible thoughts. Until next week on Catholic Vitamins, this is your handmaid, Sonia Corbett, your personal Scripture evangelista.
Well, Sonia, that probably is one of the best contributions you've made. What a lovely, training episode that is in what it means to have faith. And we just thank you so much for being a contributor to Catholic Vitamins.
You commented on the visual, the imagery that she gave us about what a revival setting was like. And even though I grew up as a Methodist, we did not have revivals that I can remember, but I know a lot of the churches, other churches, denominations around us had them.
Back in rural Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Right, right. Well, thank you for that again, Sonia Corbett, Scriptural Evangelista. You could have her come to your parish if you just reach out to her website, and the details are on our website.
Well, why don't we invite her here?
Oh, I'd love to do that. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Hey, a piece of feedback. You had written to our friend Jennifer Larkin saying, "Greetings and graces from Steubenville. God willing, our next show will feature some mini interviews from Franciscan University. Was thinking in part about you and yours while recording. We may not post for a while, just because of where we are." And that you wrote that while we were still on the road. She wrote back, "What a beautiful place to be, Franciscan University. Say a prayer for us at the port if you think of it. Enjoy your conference."
Amen. Amen.
Now she knows you did enjoy your conference.
All right. Well, the first segment that I'm going to bring up is a very, very short one, but it was a blessed one. Some may know of his music, his singing from his albums. Some may know of him from Franciscan University. But there was a book signing going on at Franciscan University, and guess who was at one of the tables? His name is Bob Rice. And I didn't say a word to him about my name or why I was there. Let's listen to what happened.
Between the Savior and the Sea.
It's a great work of fiction, a great work of fiction.
It's the Gospels from St. Peter's perspective. Hey, are we doing Catholic Vitamins right now as we speak?
Bob, you have just... I mean, I'm amazed. I walk up and you start talking about Catholic Vitamins. Hi, Bob Rice.
Hi, Deacon Tom. How are you?
I'm very, very blessed. And how's the new album going?
It's going spectacularly. People are really enjoying it, getting a lot of great feedback from it. So,
the title of the album?
The Gospel Accordion to Bob Rice.
And you do play the accordion?
In every song. Sometimes loudly, sometimes softly, but it's always present.
What music do we find on the album?
Well, it's an eclectic range. There's some praise and worship. There's some rockin' music. There's some kind of bluegrass, feel to it. There's an Irish song in there, too. So,
if we buy the album in the bookstore here, and if I take it home and put it on Catholic Vitamins, can I have your permission to play the music?
You officially have my permission to do so.
Oh, my heavens. Maybe I could get you to sign the album.
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
May the heart of Jesus in this holy sacrament be praised, adored, and loved through all the earth. May the heart of Jesus in this holy sacrament be praised, adored, and loved through all the earth. I believe. I adore. I hope. And I love you. Corazón de Jesús, en el Santísimo Sacramento, sea alabado, adorado y amado por todo el mundo.
Well, as you can tell, that was Bob Rice, who was gracious enough to let us use all of his music on Catholic Vitamins, and from his new album, The Gospel Accordion, to Bob Rice. That was a song that he wrote some years ago called Heart of Jesus, and part of it was in English in this CD, and part of it, of course, in Spanish, Heart of Jesus and Corazón de Jesús. So thank you, Bob Rice, and thanks for being a friend to Catholic Vitamins. Next up, another faith-filled contributor to Catholic Vitamins, Justin Stroh.
Enabler, Mother of the Church.
Hello, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. I love the feast of St. Peter and Paul, for it reminds us that even though Herod laid his hands on the church, tried to take the church into his own power, in other words, the world or political power of the world tries to control that which belongs to Jesus Christ, it can't do it. It can't keep the church in a place of control. Why? Because the church has become like the unleavened bread, Jesus Christ. It is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. That is, that it is in a mysterious way, as founded by Christ, his bride. And in union with his bride, takes on the characteristics of the groom. Peter in prison is really in prison, and then he is actually released, much to his own surprise, by angels. How? He's simply obedient to the angel. When the angel speaks to him, he gets up, he follows the angels, and he follows them out into his freedom. But his freedom is not his own. And this is why we know that Peter has been given this incredible gift of being like the unleavened bread. We are to be reverent and respectful to angels like our hierarchy has been. We want to pour out our life as a sacrifice like St. Paul, so that the church can be unam, sanctam, catholicam, apostolicam, ecclesiam in the world. One, holy, Catholic, apostolic. His church. People often ask me what denomination I am. I love to respond to that question because it is a very important question that many people are asking and why many people are belonging to non-denominational churches. Why? Non-denominationalism is really an assertion of the importance of the universality of the church. That is, that the church herself is not a denomination. Denominationalism is the fruit of sola scriptura, or the Bible alone, the idea, the theory that all we need is the Bible alone. But that was never said by Jesus, nor exemplified by Jesus. He gave us a life, a pattern to follow. We are called to be his bride. So that means there is a relationship, and an ongoing relationship, and a relationship that develops. And that's the church. Peter sees Jesus and knows who Jesus is because he is in a living relationship with the Father. And that living relationship makes him cry out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter says this in the context of his love for the Father. And Jesus, of course, knows it and says to him, "You are rock." So it's the bride saying, "You are my Savior, the one whom I can receive." And then the Savior saying, "I am strengthening you. You are rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church," he says to this man, Simon, changing his name, making him into a foundation, which he will build upon, a weak foundation, which he will build upon, to prove the very nature and the beauty of what the church actually is, protected by the groom who loves her. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, is willing to lay down his life. And this is what we are to proclaim as the bride of Christ. And if we don't proclaim it, then our unleavenedness becomes without flavor. We simply fall flat. "I will bless the Lord at all times and praise ever in my mouth." Why? Because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, has given me a vision to look at. This is what Peter is looking at when he sees Jesus as the Messiah. And he is filled with radiant joy, looking for the Lord. Now the world wants to have a hangover with Snoop Dogg. We are fascinated by car accidents on the internet. We want to see what the latest smart technology is going to be. We're interested in space flight. And we're laughing at things that are completely banal on the internet, distracted from the vision that we're meant to have, and that is the face of Christ.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Come, let us sing to the Lord. And shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise. Let us approach him with praise. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing a joyful song to the Lord.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, we're blessed to be once again in the presence of Father Dave Pivanka on the Franciscan University campus site. We've just finished a beautiful, beautiful talk by Dr. Mary Healy, a beautiful liturgy with priests and deacons giving praise to God. The celebrant was Father Dave Pivanka. We've had lunch, and I asked Father Dave if we could spend 8 or 10 minutes talking about two subjects. Welcome back to Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, it's nice to be back. Thank you so much for letting me be with you this morning.
So, Father, the first thing I'd like to say is I'm going to use our recorded time together for two purposes. The first is we're going to use it on our podcast, Catholic Vitamins, and you were on before. We talked about some of your writing. One of the books was about your experience on the way. You did the journey, the 500-mile hike in Spain, and you wrote a book about it. Give us the title of the book.
The title of the book is Hiking the Camino 500 Miles with Jesus.
Beautiful. And the reason that I wanted to bring that up first, repeating it as a topic to talk about, is we have a faith travelers group in our parish, 15 to 20 people who meet every 2 weeks to eat together, to commune together, to learn and grow together, but also to watch Catholic material and then to try to talk about it and learn about it. And in the interim between now and then, we're going to be watching the movie The Way, and I guess we're having a guest speaker come in and talk with us. She has done The Way as well. So what I'd like to ask you, Father Dave, for our faith travelers group back in Arizona, how could we see any message about the faith journey related to your time on the Camino?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. In the beginning of the book, and honestly the beginning of my Camino, one of the things I reflected on was pilgrimage, is that it's not necessarily a term maybe you're vaguely familiar with the idea of pilgrimage, but I love remembering what John Paul said, St. John Paul now, that all of the life is a pilgrimage. And he says that all of the Christian life, all the spiritual life is a pilgrimage, and it's a pilgrimage to the heart of the Father. So that our life is always this idea of pilgrimage, moving from one place to somewhere else. Now, for the Camino, it was moving from France all the way across Spain for 500 miles, that pilgrimage, the burial place of St. James. So it's been a place of pilgrimage for 1,100, 1,200 years. So what pilgrimage allows us to do, what the way allows us to do, is to remember those things, to remember that our life is a movement. It's taking us from one thing to something else. It's taking us from darkness to light. And I think the movie does some really nice things. The community, the sense of movement, the sense of difficulty as part of the way, I think the movie does a nice job with that. One of the great blessings of the Camino is the people that you meet. You meet people from literally all over the world, and everybody's story is different. We don't know exactly what it is, what's their burden, why is it they're walking the Camino, but everybody has a story. And that's the same thing with people in the parish. Somebody sitting next to you, somebody behind you in your parish, do you know what their story is? I mean, we don't take the time to learn, you know, about somebody's story, about somebody's journey. So I think the movie does a nice job with that. And that's what my book is a lot about, is it's about this journey, what I experienced, how I grew, what I learned from walking the Camino.
Dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, when I approached Father Dave a little while ago about doing this mini interview, he said, Tom, you are going to have copies of my book available, aren't you? Yeah. So we'll go to the bookstore, Father, and get a couple.
Good. That's great. You can get it on Amazon as well, but that's great.
All right. So now the second topic that I'd like to ask you about is I bought an advance copy of your new book that you have coming out, co-written with a deacon, Ralph Pollo, who we know here from Franciscan University. So let's get the title of the book and then what it's about.
Great. The title of the book is Encounter Jesus from Discovery to Discipleship. And it's really building on what Pope Francis is saying. Pope Francis, in Article 2 of his new document, Evangelii Gaudium, he says, I invite the entire world to an encounter or to a re-encounter with Jesus. Multiple places, over 50 times since he's been Pope, he's spoken of this idea of encounter, that all of the spiritual life is an encounter with Jesus, that it's the beginning places that we have this encounter. We look through the scriptures, encounter with the woman at the well, encounter with Zacchaeus at the tree, it's all about having an encounter with Jesus. And once we have that encounter, our life begins to change. Now, Pope Francis actually speaks of creating a culture of encounter, that when we take a look at the church and what we're doing in the church, is there this culture of encounter where people encounter Jesus? Excuse me. So what the book is about is, okay, so first off, this presentation at the beginning of the need for an encounter with Jesus, because until we have this encounter with the living God, faith is just something somebody else does, or we've heard about it, but it doesn't become real. So, but once we've had that encounter, what then? So the subtitle is From Discovery. We discover that the Lord is real, that he's present, to discipleship. And that, again, to go back to the last point, is it's a journey. It's a journey from discovery to discipleship. So what the book really is encouraging this encounter. And then once I've had this encounter, where do I go from here? So oftentimes people will say, okay, you know, I've heard this, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how do you pray? Or why is it that I don't get anything out of Mass? Or it seems to be so difficult now. So dealing with those really basic fundamental questions.
So let me make this a concluding question about the new book topic. As a deacon, I often run into people who have had faith experiences, freshening, reversion.
Yeah.
Something dramatic has happened in their life. They've turned to God again. Is the book written for me to help them, or is it written for the person who's had this quickening?
Both. And that's always the right answer, huh? But it really is. It's. I think it would help somebody who's working with discipleship and they're not quite sure how to lead somebody. But it's not beyond, in fact, it's really written, the individual who has had this encounter that says, there has to be something more. Where do I go from that, from here? Person who's attended a retreat, conference, RCAA, something like that, that leaves saying, okay, where do I go from here?
Okay.
And then somebody who's doing spiritual direction to help somebody with that process as well.
All right. So the title of the book again?
Encounter Jesus From Discovery to Discipleship.
And it will be released?
September 12th, 14th, something like that.
All right. Well, thank you, Father Dave.
My pleasure, Deacon.
For coming on Catholic Vitamins. And sometime in God's time and in your time, I would love to do a full interview with you on Catholic Vitamins.
I'd love that. God bless you and your listeners, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have great love and respect for Father Dave Pivanka, and he ministers to us at Franciscan University. It's so wonderful to have him sort of as the leader for the priest, deacon, seminarian retreat and conference. There's a lot of people behind him, but he does a great job, and I just enjoy being with him so much.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get many interviews with everybody who talks to you there?
Oh.
We'd have enough to fill up a couple podcasts.
I know. You really would.
Hey, I want to welcome 4 new members to our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
All right.
Guy Rabbey. I guess that's how you pronounce it, R-A-B-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Parker, Kimberly Gildard, Anthony Ilya,
Ilya. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining Friends of Catholic Vitamins, and just look for a little something extra in your pay envelope in the coming next month.
Who's our accountant?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Do you have any feedback?
I got one here. Kim Cook, who was our guest interviewee for...
2 shows back.
Detachment, vitamin D for detachment.
Boy, did she ever learn detachment?
She said, "Hi, Deacon Tom, so good to hear from you. I hope that you're truly enjoying your time on campus and soaking in all the richness that the conference has to offer. It must be an extraordinary experience to be surrounded by so many holy men of God serving in the vineyard faithfully every day. We as a church are so very blessed to have you fighting the good fight for us. I hope you and your lovely wife have greatly enjoyed your travels. You both have such enthusiastic and joyful hearts, and I know that you are spreading that everywhere you go." Pax.
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 Mm-hmm.
Kim.
Well, we thank you so much for that sharing of thoughts, and you are a joyful one about spreading the faith as well, Kim. And thank you for being a guest on Catholic Vitamins 2 shows back. D, I stumbled onto a young man. Well, someone pointed him out to me, so I'll just start with that. And I was able to grab another mini interview. Listen to this.
Well, next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm at Franciscan University. And as we try to do often when we visit here, we try to find a faith experience to share with our listeners. I'm sitting with Nicholas Scanlon from Waukesha, Wisconsin. He is a graduate, recent graduate of...
I've got one more year left.
One more year. Okay, all right. And I was recommended to speak with you by a priest that I've come to know and love quite a bit. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Father Don.
Father Don Schmidt, yeah. How do you know Father Don? Let's get started there.
Well, actually, I've known him for quite some time. When I was really young, I remember he was the first one to ever ask me, "Hey, did you ever think about being a priest?"
Oh.
I was in first or second grade, probably. We used to go to his parish every once in a while. And then I switched over to a school called Trinity Academy, mm-hmm. where I ended up going to school from 4th to 12th grade. And it's a fantastic private Catholic school. And he ended up coming there the same year I did, and he began to teach there. So I've gotten to know him pretty well over the years.
Great. Well, I've known him now for, 9 years going on 10, and I love him very dearly. But we're with Nicholas Scanlon, and the next thing I would say is the name Scanlon seems a little bit familiar when I'm on a Franciscan campus. How does that happen?
Yeah, there are a few Scanlons that you'll meet on campus. Sometimes we call them the O-N's, S-C-A-N-L-O-N. But my name comes from the same family as Father Michael Scanlon. Mm. That would be my great uncle. So my dad's uncle.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, he has certainly the legacy here and the beautiful experience of transforming Franciscan University into the great powerhouse that it is now. How have your 3 years been here?
Fantastic. My parents went to Franciscan. I've been looking forward to coming to Franciscan for as long as I can remember, from everything that my parents have said about it. The last 3 years have been great. There's nothing like coming to a place that supports you in your beliefs and can just kind of steep you in this atmosphere of beauty and goodness and truth. It's definitely worth it.
Awesome. Great. Well, I have preached about Franciscan back in Arizona, where I'm from, and actually in Colorado, where I was before. And I've called it holy ground or anointed ground, mm-hmm. and I think that's probably a pretty fair statement.
Yeah.
What have you been majoring in, or what are you shooting for?
Well, I'm studying theology and catechetics with a focus in youth ministry. So I'm hoping to end up one day. There's a lot of different roads that catechetics majors end up going down, director of religious education, teaching in high schools. But I'm focusing in youth ministry, and I'd like to end up being a youth minister in a parish.
Mm. Okay, make sure you send a letter to Arizona.
Yeah, you guys have it pretty good over there. There's a lot of good stuff going on.
Absolutely. And in Colorado, where I came from before. So we kind of just skipped over the early teen years. Anything special that you can think about in your early teen years? Did you go to any youth conferences or?
Sort of. I ended up. I've been to a couple Steubenville conferences, but mostly as a chaperone. But when I was in high school, they had kind of an offshoot. This guy named Brian, he graduated from the university. He is a youth minister in Wisconsin, and he helped start the Wisconsin Catholic Youth Rally, which models itself off of the Steubenville conferences.
Uh-huh.
My dad helped start something called John Bosco Youth Day, and I was very involved with a group called Catholic Youth Expeditions and Net Ministries Discipleship Weeks. So I got very involved in all kinds of stuff.
All right.
High school, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you really are faith-filled, and that's part of the focus of this show that we're doing the interview time for. So I did pick up a rumor that instead of the Lord calling you to consider the priesthood, the Lord may be calling you to consider something else. What's this I hear?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I just got engaged.
Oh.
I've been engaged for a little over a month to a fantastic young woman. Her name's Mary Ellen.
Oh.
We're looking to get married a little over a year, probably August of 2015 after I graduate.
Super.
Yeah.
Gosh, oh, great.
Very blessed.
Amen. Now, we said that this would be sort of a limited interview, not a full-blown interview. The last thing that I wanted to move us into is that I heard you sing, mm-hmm. and I've watched you play here at the conference for the day that we've been here, and you are blessed in another way with the God-given music talent and a singing voice. How about if you pick something that you could play and sing a little bit for us?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to.
All right. We'll get ready here while you get set up.
The song is called Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Well, that's just absolutely awesome. That's Nicholas Scanlon at Franciscan University. Do you play any other instruments? Not that there's anything missing from what you've done.
No, I did a little piano when I was little, but guitar has been my great love since high school. So.
Awesome. Well, we are just really blessed to have you on Catholic Vitamins, and we'll keep you in our prayers. I promise I say that with every interview that we do, but we'll keep you in our prayers. And,
thank you.
Ask a God's special blessing on you as you finish your time here at Franciscan and perhaps move towards marriage.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fears. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am near. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm with Deacon James Keating. Is it James or Jim?
Do you prefer James? Is fine.
James, yeah. And you're an author and a speaker and a teacher and a formator and a deacon. Where do you deacon?
I'm a deacon of the Archdiocese of Omaha in Nebraska. I'm the director of the diaconate there. And then I also work for the Institute for Priestly Formation at Creighton University. And our ministry is to help seminarians and priests deepen their interior life, their life of contemplative prayer.
Awesome. Well, I was in the bookstore, and I had heard about this before, but I bought your book, Listening for Truth, Praying Our Way to Virtue. I'd like to give a little plug to your book on our program. Tell our listeners what they would find in your book.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. This book, Listening for Truth, is basically about our putting Jesus first. In other words, developing our intimacy with Christ. And then as our intimacy with Christ develops and he becomes more established in our hearts, actually, our interest in vice lessens. It dissipates, and we become more interested in virtue, more interested in who Jesus is, and therefore less interested or bored with our sins. And so a lot of times people have it backwards. They try to be good, and in being good, they strive and they try, and then they keep failing. So we have to get it the right way. The right way is prayer life, deepen your intimacy with Jesus, and then Jesus will see to it that you lose interest in sin.
Praise God. Well, I'm working on those very issues, and thank you. So I'll look forward to reading Listening for Truth by Deacon James Keating, Praying Our Way to Virtue, and this is published by Liguori Publications. And you have a few other books, so we'll wrap up our mini-interview. Tell us about the other books you've written.
Sure. The other book I just want to highlight is a book called Spousal Prayer, and you can get this on Amazon. And this is a book teaching Catholic couples how to pray together. And sometimes it can be very intimidating, so we give some very short, easy steps on how couples can begin a prayer life in their home.
Ooh, what a great idea. That is a great gift. Well, I'll look forward to that. And I see some other books here, Spiritual Fathers.
Spiritual Fathers is a workbook for parish priests and their deacons and fathers of the parish to help facilitate vocations to the priesthood.
Great. A deacon's retreat.
What? Yeah, especially for the men in our vocation, Tom, deacons. And it's a guided retreat that you can do in a retreat house or you can do at home, especially for deacons. And it's based on our role at the Mass and how we can deepen our identity as deacons by paying closer attention to the roles that the church has given us in worship.
The other book that I see here on the table, which I have not bought or read yet, is The Deacon Reader. What will people find there?
Yeah, The Deacon Reader is meant for deacon formation programs, and in it is the history of the diaconate, the spirituality of the diaconate, the role of the deacon's wife, and the theology of the diaconate. So it's meant for those guys who are really interested in becoming a deacon and those who have entered formation.
Our guest on this mini interview on Catholic Vitamins, outside the noisy bookstore area at Franciscan University, has been Deacon James Keating. Deacon James, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
James Keating is a world-recognized deacon and formator, and it was great to have him for a mini interview. He's another one that I'd like to get when I could do a full-blown interview, but he's got so many areas that he's contributing in and so many areas he's responsible for. Dee, you said you had some feedback to share.
Well, we had a nice long email from Sarah Watson,
our friend in Pennsylvania.
Or maybe it was a Facebook post. Doesn't matter. Anyhow, she said one of the things she said was that they went camping to the Outer Banks of North Carolina to celebrate Owen's first birthday.
Who can believe Owen is one year old?
I know. And then they are currently potty training Eli.
We get all Good the luck. News here. We get all the news that's fit to print here, folks.
She's also planning their vacation Bible school, which starts in July. And her husband and she have decided that she won't return to work in August.
Oh, my heavens. What a step that is, huh?
Well, maybe that's because of the next piece of news she shared.
What is that? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're going to build a house. No?
She's pregnant.
Again. Oh, really? Oh, Sarah.
We do get the end of December. We're so happy.
We are. We're really happy for you. And we need to have you move closer to us so you can get us involved in babysitting and help out. All you have to do is just come towards Arizona, or maybe we'll meet. No, we're not going to meet halfway. That would be Missouri, and we're not going to do that.
No, well, we just have to do another, like, side trip when we're in Pennsylvania to try to meet her halfway somewhere so we can...
I know we talk about this sort of thing, but it is so hard to do because we have so many things that we're trying to do in our 3-week or 3.5
weeks. Well, if you just do what I've been talking about for years...
What is that? Retire?
Take a sabbatical.
Oh.
From the deacon.
You know, priests take sabbaticals.
Yeah.
I wonder about that.
Take a sabbatical, rent an RV... Or if somebody would like to loan us an RV.
Oh, yeah, that'll be close. Yeah, right.
And it would just make a big circle around the United States and do meet and greets everywhere. That would be so much fun.
Dear, I really want to thank Bob Rice, especially because he allowed us to play his music from his CD. And I'm going to close the show after our normal closing. Play a song that has touched my heart, and I don't know why it's such a special song. I'm flipping through the pages of the booklet that comes with this
CD.
Yeah, and it's called "Let This Be Church Again." Be a church again. Let this be a church again. We'll play that at the end of the show after we finish with our normal credits and things.
Okay, Vita Scrabble for next time. We had no winners this time. Vita Scrabble for next time, vitamin G, ends in S, 8 letters.
Once again, if you're new to Catholic Vitamins, take a guess at what this faith word is about. And it starts with G, as D said, the lovely D said, and it ends in S. And if you think you know what the word is with 8 letters, send it in to send your guess in to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And any correct entries go into one of these famous baskets, and then we pull a name and send something nice to follow up.
And we shall make good, as we said at the beginning of the show, to send something to Imad.
It'll be a nice letter, that's all.
for his correct guess for vitamin E.
Thank you, everybody, for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins. We look forward to joining you again with more joy in our hearts. We're faith-filled Catholics, Deacon Tom and Dee.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I went back to the place where I grew. Drove around in my car. Made the sign of a cross when I passed a church. But it had become a bar. I think it was St. Stanislaus a couple of years before. But when I went in, they weren't singing hymns, they were drinking to rock and roll. Well, I could not believe what had happened, so I asked the bartender how. I said, tell me, where have all the Catholics gone? He said, they come round more often now. Oh, let this be a church again. Come back to your home. Remind us what these walls are for, to worship you alone. They removed the pews, the altar too. They kept the stained glass. And the folks gathered there for a different prayer, a different kind of a mass. The bartender can hear your confession. You can even order bread and wine. But you'll not be forgiven transgressions or partake of the bread of life. Oh, let this be a church again. Come back to your home. Remind us what these walls are for, to worship you alone. Don't get me wrong by the tone of this song. I've frequented pubs before. It's just my heart aches to see pints and see kegs in a place made to be so much more. Weren't we all made to be so much more? So let us be a church again. Come back to your home. Remind us what these hearts are for, to worship you alone. Oh, let us be a church again. come back to your home. Remind us what these hearts are for, to worship you alone.